Greetings to all of you in the name of Jesus. What a blessing to be here. Thank you for those thoughts to us this morning, Brother Andy, Aiden. What does the grace of God look like? There in that verse that Aiden read there in Acts 11:23, when they seen the grace of God, what does the grace of God look like? Well, I was blessed being here, sitting under the sound of the Word here this morning, to be washed by it. I know what the Lord put on my heart, and so so I'm listening, and a lot of things that all the same things you'll be hearing in some ways. So we'll just continue on here. We'll open up with a word of prayer here, and maybe we can stand, of those of you that can and are able. Let's dedicate these few next moments of time to God here. Father, we thank you for being here and witnessing to our hearts your truths. Father, I pray that as we hear, as we listen, as we try to understand, as you speak, that still small voice, that we're able to comprehend what you're trying to tell us. Father, that our own understanding doesn't get in the way of your ultimate purpose for us, that we can ration, try to weasel out. But Father, I pray that you'd place a finger upon our hearts. We're needy people. We need another measure from you. We need to be able to hear your voice. Help us, give us the ability and strength to respond rightly to that still small voice. Father, bless the few words, a few thoughts that we have before us as we open up our lives to you. And pray for the preaching of your word, that it might come by your Spirit, that they'll be winged to each one of our hearts. That you would press in, Lord. We have need of you. We desire to be a people that reflect you in your great name. We just ask that you administer it to us in this next few moments of time that we have before us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In one of our bathrooms at home, we have this plaque with some verses on it. And those verses are out of Proverbs. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not on thine own understandings. Verse 6. In all thine ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. I've seen that plaque numerous times. From time to time, you know, you read it. Something's there. You know you go by it. You see it. But if one of my family was to ask me before these things came to me, what we're going to share upon, if they would have asked me what that plaque says, I probably couldn't have told them. We get so used to things going before us, reading it, it don't soak in. It don't register sometimes until until the Lord speaks sometimes. And then sometimes it's only then when things register, yes, that's what that says. Just recently we had a count and this should be an ongoing thing, shame on us, shame on me, of a specific answer to prayer. Something that we prayed specifically, and we felt there was answer, not only answer to the prayer, but more than the answer to the prayer. God's blessings don't come in a line, in a measure where you ask and He just gives you that measure. Oftentimes when He answers, He gives you above the measure. That was our experience. And when the recognition came to that this is what we prayed for. This is an answer to prayer. When it came to me, sometimes I'm so hard-headed and dense, hard-hearted, that I don't even realize sometimes the answer to prayers. But I was in the shop working when it came to me, when the realization of it came to me. This is the first thought that went through my mind of myself. Of me, an unworthy servant. Receiving God's benefits. Speaks of God's faithfulness and provision. So in this last week, these few verses that we quoted here, had opportunity to look at them and ponder them a bit. So this is what we're going to do here. We got it broken in four parts. These two verses, we have broken four parts, and we're just going to take a look at them here this morning. And if you can turn there, Proverbs 3, we'll be reading verses 5 and 6. That's where we're going to spend most of our time here this morning. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. One of our daughters took upon themselves to teach our youngest one some Bible verses, and these two happen to be two of them. Part 1, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. This, I believe, is a proverb of Solomon. He's addressing his son. In the first portion of this of Proverbs 3, he says, my son. This is a personal thing that he wants to tell to his son. There's some things, there's some instruction that he wants to give to them there, to him. And I think we could put in daughter there too if you'd like. But he addresses them personally. And so I think it's all inclusive to us here this morning to take this advice, to take this instruction from Solomon. There are three key words that we must focus on in this phrase. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. It is trust, it is Lord, and it is heart. Trust is a place of confidence, placing confidence on something. Resting upon, or to take refuge in. Trust in today's world is hard to come by anymore, it seems like, where people don't trust people. You know, in the business world, everything has to be written down. You have to write things in writing, you have to write signatures and that whole thing, because there's no trust. People don't trust what other people say. People don't take your word for what you say. The thing's diminishing. So the trust, we hardly even know what trust means. Trust in the Lord. We're trusting not on something that is fleeting. We're not trusting on who's the best.
or the holiest, or the most gifted one, or in any creature. We're not putting placing our trust in any riches of any sort, or any education. We're not placing trust on self. We're called to trust in the Lord with all our heart. This is Jehovah, the self-existent one. Not something or it. This is the Creator God. This is He that sitteth on the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants, us, are as grasshoppers. He stretches the heavens. When you look at the heavens and the magnitude of it, He stretches the heavens like a curtain, making a tent for us to dwell in. It is He that the lightnings answer to and say, "Here we are." The Lord is His name. And we are to trust Him with all our heart, with our whole faculty. Heart as we know it is not our physical heart. It is who we are. It's the central part of us. It's our life being. Proverbs 23:26 says, "My son, give me thine heart." You can't just take it out and give God your heart in that way. It is not talking about a physical heart you can give, but it's the seat of our affections and thoughts. The first commandment includes every part of our humanity, as we are to love the Lord God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So we are to have total confidence and reliance on the one that controls all things with our total being, the trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Part 2, we have the second half of verse 5. It says, "Lean not unto thine own understanding." Jeremiah 4:22 says this, "For my people is foolish, and they have not known me. They are sottish children," which means dull and stupid, "and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge." And that knowledge in that verse is the same as acknowledge Him, which is in verse 6 then. Ecclesiastes 9:11, "I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor of men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all." Lean not on thine own understanding. You know, in this verse, sometimes we think humanly, maybe too often. The race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. Neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happeneth to them all. Romans 3:11-12, "There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." And later on in that same context, there's this verse in verse 18 of chapter 3 there in Romans. "There is no fear of God before their eyes." It's an interesting conclusion there. Lean not unto thine own understanding is what we're talking about. There's no fear of God before their eyes. I think it reminds me of some years ago. We was out as a church street witnessing. And this young man comes out of a bar that we were walking down the street in front of some. And gets on his motorcycle and tried to witness to him about the Lord, and he was a Harley guy, and I just remember when I read this verse, often have to think about that incident. I'm sure I was pretty arrogant. Still am, probably in those, in trying to reach out, trying to testify. But there's no fear of God before his eyes. He didn't need no help. Everything that he had, he earned by his own hands. No one helped him before. And he's not expecting any help now. That's all he wants. Trusted on his own. Everything he has earned by his own hands. He didn't need any help. Bible says we have not anything we did not receive, yet we act sometimes as if we've earned them. I don't want to take away the part of working with our own hands, but it's the attitude we carry. It's the Lord who ultimately gives. That Satan attitude of I will ascend, I will be like, I will be, I will. King Nebuchadnezzar had it. It's not this the great Babylon that I have built with the might of my power to the honor of my majesty. Herod gave an oration and the people said, it's the voice of God. The Lord smote him because he gave God not the glory. With these similar attitudes, each one the Lord dealt with very harshly. Our wisdom, understanding, trust, knowledge must come from above. We must lean, rest upon the wisdom of God and not on our own understanding. Our own fleshly understanding opposes the will of God. What this flesh desires is at odds with God. The Bible says it's the enemy of God. So how can we suppose that anything will come out right trusting on our own understanding? It will fail us. It will fail us. Lean in this verse gives an idea of supporting oneself like an anchor or foundation, something that you rely on. I think of the roots of a tree or the foundation of a building or the anchor of a boat. Each one of those are to hold something in place or to support something and hold it in place. Rooted, the tree, think of a big oak at the river bottom. Swaying and being blown in the wind. There's something underneath that is holding that thing in place. It can't just stand there by itself, just what you see on the outside. An anchor, a big ship has its anchor down, and he's going against the waves. The waves are blowing and the water is boisterous, and yet it holds. The anchor holds. A good anchor holds that boat right in place there as it's just swaying in the ocean. The foundation of a building, even though you don't see it, trust the nowadays they make you put a foundation on buildings, and so it's there to hold that thing in place. You know, there's going to be storms, there's going to be wind, there's going to be so we try to make provision for that. But in each one of those, roots, anchor, foundation, none of those, you can't see any of them. They're all hidden. And that just struck me. That support there is hidden. None can be seen. This makes you think of a sometimes maybe you meet a godly man and just by first appearance you can't see the depth of his faith, the depth of his convictions. When you go and talk to him, you finally realize, or you see his life, you realize there's a foundation there. Supporting. What is supporting our lives? Leaning. What are we leaning on? Ephesians 4:17 and 18, we have these verses. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as under the Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. They're alienated from the life of God through ignorance.
Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So we must lean and rely and support oneself with God and His Word and not on our own understanding. Jeremiah 9:23-24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. That I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Part 3, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. Verse 6 there. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Begin, continue, and end every work, purpose, going with God. Which of thy ways should this include? All thy ways. Is there some things that we would just not have our brothers to find out that we are involved with or doing, or just certain ones, because if they find out about it, it could, well, maybe just be a challenge? Is our life so free and clear with our families, brothers and sisters, that it's really just an open book for all to look at? Isn't this accountability? And really, it doesn't matter what we hide from our fellow man. God sees the innermost thoughts of our hearts. We can convince others that we are doing pretty good. If we would be embarrassed to have our life pictures on a wide overhead screen for all to see, then we best reconsider our comings and goings. Here's a couple of verses. 1 Chronicles 28:9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve Him with a perfect heart, with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all the hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek Him, He will be found of thee. But if thou forsake Him, He will cast thee off forever. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore we eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Self-sufficiency and self-dependence has been the ruin of mankind since Adam. We have learned in some ways to live dependent. Maybe we should encourage more of a dependency on each other, and maybe that would enhance our dependency on God. In some community/groups, there is still what we call frolics or barn raisings. Even though they may not have everything just right, I think we would do well to encourage that. The thought came to me on homeschool day just the other day, last week, we had different team group efforts here, the different things that we did. And how if just one of that team or group, especially thinking of what happened over at the other building, if one of them decided that he's not going to comply to the guidelines or the directions that was given, he failed to play the game, end quote. He wouldn't comply. It would have basically been impossible for that team to win. It'd have been impossible. Unless you skipped them, obviously, and just pushed them out. And just the picture of what can be done with many hands. When we work together, doing something in a common rally. But the world cries independence. It's a great sin that has followed the human race to live independently of God.
We as humans can do so much in this world without God. We can see the effects of this all around us, where there is apostatizing, morals decaying, integrity rare, and sometimes maybe this is having its effect and influence on us too.
In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Every turn of the road, every choice we make, every thought that we think, every purchase that we make, every part of life, that God would truly be that centerpiece that we rightly need and must have. If any man lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God. He gives liberally. Why would one ask another of anything? Because there's a need. If there's no need, there's no asking. Is that why my prayer life lacks? Because I don't have a need. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Our eyes must be ever on Him in every situation, subjected to His will and purpose. Part 4 here. He will direct your ways. Here's the promise, but it's not given to all. It's given to those that have done or are doing the first three things that we talked about. Then only will God make straight path for our feet. We want God to have His way in us. Then we must willingly comply or rely on His providence. Those who put themselves under the divine guidance shall always benefit from it. God will then lead and be able to lead us from the path of destruction and sin. But so many times we want to go our own way. We want to do our own thing. We want to do what pleases the flesh, and this is contrary to the law of God. So then we cannot expect God to direct our paths in this condition. But those that faithfully follow God, cloud by day, fire by night, and though it leads them about, we can know that it will lead them aright. Submission to God is what it's called. God's word says that humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. It's a similar promise that we have there. Jeremiah 10:23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Proverbs 16:1. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Proverbs 20:24. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? I'm sure we've all had seasons of this and experienced God's blessings and answered prayer and His Spirit speaking to us. But why not have a continuation of a life consecrated to God? Here's some concluding thoughts in the verses about our lives that we just read about. God knows the end of our lives. I just want to draw a little thing up here, just a couple lines. That's a little picture of someone's life, maybe. God knows the end of our life, beginning to the end. He knows what our lives consist of. He knows
the stumblings, the fumblings, the trials of life. He knows what's going to be in our lives. He knows. He knows the turmoils and tribulations. He knows the high mountains and the valleys, high and low times in our lives. He knows the rabbit trails that we might take in our journey. But God knows what's best for each one of us as an individual. What He deems best for you may not be the same thing He deems best for me. The journey that you take might be a little bit different than what He places in my life. But God knows what's best. Some of the choices we may pull on ourselves. That is why it's so important to walk very close to God. He knows what's best for us. And if we can rely on Him, He has our best interest in mind. Even through the difficulty and the challenges of life, He knows what's best. He knows the tests that we must take. And He knows those tests, if we pass those tests, that they'll only make us stronger. It is to perfect us. We don't have to know the what's and the whys and the hows and the whens. We just need to trust Him. Okay, we live in an affluent culture, which means for the most part, most of the people have abundance. Now, if you don't think so, not that we compare yourself with the rest of the world. But prosperity does not necessarily indicate the favor of God. Prosperity, success, seemingly on any level, spiritual or temporal, seems to draw our hearts away from God. Uninterrupted prosperity can be the most ruinous things on earth, using the word in a human sense. Because that soul has a tendency for pride to fill his heart and trust on other things, which is idolatry. That's what it's called. Also, it weakens our faith in God and turns to other things. We think of our skill. We think of our good character. We think of all our wisdom was the cause of our prosperity or success. Again, we are reminded of King Nebuchadnezzar's account where he went to eat grass like oxen. Is not this the great Babylon that I have built? And pride fills our hearts. Is the success of my life not because I'm such a great schemer or you fill in the blank? I'm going to read Ecclesiastes 9:11 again. I returned and saw under the sun, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happeneth to them all. Somebody that maybe prospers financially, successful, has a tendency to look down or place less value on people of less prominence, whether financially or spiritually. Their success isn't as great, so God must not be blessing them. That's false. We are all on a journey. What challenges or tests that I need, you may not. What God deems best for your life, I may not need. That's why it is so important to humble ourselves before God, lest pride fill our hearts and be the destruction of many or to any one of us. So we measure people by success or no success. This isn't totally accurate. Crosses and trials may not be enjoyable at present, but afterwards they work a beautiful and lasting work if the individual complies to the finger of God. If a soul prospers, just a thought, It may be because we have such childish faith that God condescends to us, knowing that we don't have the strength to endure hardness. So what people call success may be an indication of weak faith. Has there ever been a group of people that prosperity has not proved to the end their degeneration and eventually the downfall of that people group? For some reason, we as people have a hard time with uninterrupted prosperity and success. Let us be careful with these things, that these things don't turn our hearts from fully trusting and relying on the Lord Jesus Christ, whether in success or not success, that we can, whatever the times are, that we give total reliance upon the Lord Jesus Christ for our lives, that our hearts are fully trusting on Him. Humility, self-denial, perseverance, sobriety, consideration for others are key things to have constant in our lives. Trusting in God with all our hearts, not leaning on our own understanding, and on all our ways acknowledge Him. I'm going to read a couple of verses here in closing. Proverbs 3, just on down from where our text is, verse 11 and 12. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the Son in whom He delighteth. Hebrews 12, verse 1-15. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Isn't this a blessing that we can come to this? As we might face difficulty and challenges, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is whom the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. And shall not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. But He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down on the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Look diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy path. Thank you for listening.